There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend.
Hi, everybody. It's Jamie Lee Curtis, and you're listening to the Good Friend Podcast, presented to you by iHeartRadio. It's a podcast about friendship. We talk about everything. We cry, we laugh. We think about what it really means to be a good friend. And I have conversations with some of my best friends, some people I've never met, and sort of everything in between. So I hope by the end of it that you have a really good sense of what friendship means to me and the people that I consider friends. And I hope you can take those same ideas into your own friendship groups. And I hope you enjoy it. So for my uninitiated listener, I believe, Alexandra, we have at least one here on the Good Friend Podcast. My guest is my friend, Alexandra Hedison, who I have the great privilege to call a good friend, a good, earned, good, hard friendship. Earned. Wouldn't you say that?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, good friends, you earn them. I don't think good friends happen. I think you can have friends, but to have a good friend, I think you earn that badge of goodness.
I would agree with that. I think that it's something that happens over time.
Yeah. How would you earn? It's like in the Girl Scouts. How would you earn your badge, your good friend badge? What would you describe the qualities?
Well, it's interesting, just the word earn. And you said the good girl badge. There's something about that. This can go two ways, because I think that you and I are both trained. We grew up in a way where you had to earn something. Mm-hmm. And this idea of, I need to earn something to be the good girl, mm-hmm. to be the good friend, to get that confirmation from outside of myself that I am worthy of whatever it is that I'm seeking. Mm-hmm. And so I would say as a friend, that I have now earned the privilege myself just through my own growth and knowing of myself, that I know that I can just be myself and be with someone who is also themselves. And together we get to share ourselves. We get to share each other, and we don't actually have to do or get or earn and still real trust, real relationship, I think takes time. That's a story that unfolds over time.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not suggesting it's transactional on any level except experientially transactional. Like, I don't think I would have a good friend that has not been in, as I like to refer to it in certain circles that I frequent, you know, my turn in the barrel. That when I've been in the barrel of life, when I've just been bounced around in the barrel of life, the people that are there when I emerge are my good friends. Mm-hmm. And that isn't a transactional relationship. It's not based on materialism. It's based on emotionalism.
Right. And yet I wanted to highlight the word earn for a minute, because I know for me, at least, I have caught myself in the act of magnificently wrapping something or going to 10 stores to find the perfect whatever. And I have, as I've gotten older, had to question that motivation. I've had to examine it a little bit and say, what is it that I'm doing? And at what point is it enough? And I get so much pleasure, as you know, out of wrapping a gift or
yes.
giving a gift.
By the way, you're an exquisite gift giver. It is part of your essence, is the ability to know someone, see an object or something beautiful, whatever it is, figure out a way to somehow present that to the person as a gesture of friendship or a gift giving time. We all give ourselves gifts. I mean, think about it. I mean, everybody has a birthday every year. There's, you know, holiday gift giving. If you're married or you have a significant person, there's that anniversary. And if you end up having children, there are those. I mean, it's mm-hmm. Hallmark has made a, you know, a life, a wealth life out of the act of giving. Mm-hmm. But you have that in a very powerful way. You have an artist's eye and exquisite taste.
Thank you, Jamie.
It's true.
That's really nice.
We became friends. It's so interesting because we became friends from a distance in a way. Mm-hmm. And it was from a distance when we connected. Alexandra and I, without getting any personal story in here, there was a moment where Alexandra was away out of the state where I live and where we both live. And we had a conversation. It was our first real conversation. And we talked about my stepfather, who survived an avalanche. And for my listener, and by the way, Alexandra, we have a listener. I'm sure I have a listener. And we speak to my listener just because I haven't named them, because then that would be weird. But they know who they are. My listener. So to my uninitiated listener, my stepfather, Bob Brandt, was helicopter skiing in the Bugaboos in Canada with a group of friends. And when you helicopter ski, everybody wears a sensor, an avalanche beacon, that everybody turns to send when they descend down the piste, as the Europeans would say. The run. And then, God forbid, an avalanche occurs and they are enveloped by the avalanche. Everyone who has survived it, who are outside of the avalanche, turn their beacon to receive. And then the sender's beacon registers, and that's how you locate people. And when my stepfather was in this accident, someone in the adrenaline moment forgot to turn theirs And so for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, the rescue party was following a beacon of somebody not under the snow. And when they realized that moment and they turned that person's beacon to receive, they were able to find my dad, but he was minutes from death. You know, his hands were very close to his face and he had made his peace that he was gonna die. And Alexandra and my first conversation was about beacons, sending out a beacon to each other that we made a pact, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we said in this brand new friendship, I think we discussed the idea that we would be each other's beacon and that if we were in trouble, we would send a text with a beacon and we would know what that meant. A little red flashing light or whatever it was.
I think it was a plus sign that we sort of did a series of plus signs because I think at that year, phones were not that fancy. We didn't have emojis or we didn't have things. So it was just a repeated plus sign that was basically saying beacon on.
Right. Beacon on. And I really think our friendship, our good friendship began then. We were friends. We knew each other, but we didn't know each other. And that was the beginning of the good friendship. And the beacon on was a shorthand for saying, I am open to receive you wherever you are, however you are, whatever's going on with you. I am here in the same way that the person, the other person says beacon on. And it's a way of speaking a language to each other that we didn't even know we shared yet. And I remember that so well. I'm glad you remember it too.
Yeah, I do remember it.
When you were little, let's just go back for a minute. You know, obviously, it's a show called Good Friend. People have talked about all aspects of friendship from when they were little, family who become, you know, obviously friends. Just talk to me a little bit about your early life and friendships and how did you make them? Were you in a crew? Were you a one-on? You know, explain a little more about like what your, that friend terrain was within you.
I was always a one-on-one person. I think that even at an early age, I liked somewhat of a deep dive, meaning the intimacy of a one-on-one, the safety of that. And I had good friends from an early age. I remember I had a friend I had in preschool. And as far as I know, it was my only friend. And then later, I made a couple friends maybe when I was around 10 or 12. And they stayed my friends through high school. I still know these women. And of course, our lives changed. But I was never part of a group. I think that I was friends with lots of people, but my good friends were, I had two or three, and they were the same people I saw, you know, the same girls I saw every weekend. Mm-hmm. And there was something about that, the consistency and the kind of, there was a growth, I think, that happened over time with those at the time girls. And I felt safe in it. I also didn't have, I came from a family where both parents essentially were only children. I say that my father was an only child. My mother had a half sibling in South Africa and two other sister-like women who were in London. So I grew up in Los Angeles. And so there were not a lot of people in our house and it was just me and my sister. So there was something about the singular friend, that one person.
Did that continue as you started to then become a teenager and move out into a broader social thing?
It did. Yeah. It was always the one person. And even when I started having relationships and my relationships, because I'm gay, were with women, the one friend, the girlfriend who I was not romantic with, that still was always that was always incredibly important to me. And those relationships have evolved over time, but I am to a fault almost, incredibly loyal. I just, like, once you have me as a friend, once we bond and we connect and we trust each other, like, you have to beat me off with a stick. Like, I don't, you would have to do so many things for me to really, like, understand, like, oh, this isn't a safe space for me anymore. Like, I would try and broker that relationship and negotiate it and work on it and do anything I could to make it work or to maintain it. I'm kind of a one person friend, and I obviously have more than one friend. It's hard to believe you're not my only friend. But,
really?
Well,
as you know, we were going to originally,
yes, exactly,
in the original conception of just talking about good friends, we were going to include in this conversation our bestie, our delicious good friend, Patty Rockenwagner, who was called away at the last minute. And so what we said to Patty is, don't worry about it. We'll just talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to bring up, if Patty was here, and you and I can discuss it, is Patty and Alex and Jamie became friends because Jamie knew Alex, Jamie knew Patty. Patty and Alex did not know each other, and the three of us went away together on a girls' trip skiing. And they had never met. When we pulled up to Patty's house and knocked on her door, I was like, Patty, this is Alex. Alex, this is Patty. And what happened on that trip has born now not only a absolute bestie triumvirate with the three of us, but our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
And although we've never said it out loud, and I'm certainly not putting you on the spot, and Patty's not here so we can talk about her.
Yes, easily.
I am not a swinger. None of us are swingers. And yet.
Well, hang on a minute. Okay.
And yet, I was thinking about it. I actually think we could all pair off with each other's spouses in different connections.
Mm-hmm.
And it would work. Like, there are six of us, and somehow our little bestie group really works. And it's created and become an absolutely essential
mm-hmm.
friend group part of my life for sure. And I know yours, and I know Patty's.
Yeah.
And what do you think? That was such a brave moment to go away with a new friend who you didn't know, that you had never met.
See, this is what's interesting to me. The way I see it is I see the courage as yours. Because for me, it was fun. I trusted you. Of course, this person's going to be, there's no way I'm not going to like this person. I didn't realize that I would love her as much as I do and that she would become as important to me as she has. But there's something for me, and I think about this all the time, that there is, and this comes back to gifting and giving and generosity. You are truly one of the most generous people I know. And not just, I'm going to get you this, I'm going to do this. You are incredibly thoughtful and you give. And to bring two of your close friends together could potentially signal loss. Like, oh, maybe they're going to like each other more, or maybe they're going to become friends, or maybe I'm going to lose something or I won't get as much. And it felt like there was never that consideration for you, that it was just, please, if you two love each other, it's only better for me. That there has always been this incredibly, you've come from such a generous place of sharing and bringing people together. And it's had such an impact on my life, on Jody's life, and all of our lives together. And to your point of, like, we could all swing. Like, but it's really a big deal that I love your husband. I love him. It's like to be such close friends with you and not just like, okay, I love her and I'm kind of putting up with the person she's with.
That's what I mean.
It's amazing. I love Hans, Patty's husband. I love, you know, and Jody. I mean, it's like we all really, really appreciate each other, and we're all very different.
And we're the spouses that didn't know each other going in have become as important. And I'm sure my listener can really relate to that. And I hope it gives the listener permission to really expand your circle, because certainly, and it's human nature, we don't know. Of course, there are couples of my friends that aren't a good match with me and Chris. Mm-hmm. They're just not a good match. And that doesn't mean I can't have that good, strong,
right,
you know, powerful friendship with the, most of the time, the woman in the relationship. But it's, we're not going to travel together. Mm-hmm. We probably won't even have dinner together, mm-hmm, because the men aren't going to mix well. And what's the point of doing that? But when you make something, a relationship, the way we did, it was a Valentine's Day weekend, mm-hmm, and we just took off and went up to the mountains and had this girls' trip. That bond that occurred on that trip has now created trips around the world. And what you just said, which is lovely, thank you, has occurred.
Yeah.
You and Patty are actually very close friends, and there are, mm-hmm, aspects of your guys' relationship that I am not a part of. I don't feel jealousy, but I do think the ability for the three of us with sort of disparate backgrounds, mm-hmm, Patty was raised in South America, is of Korean descent, also lived in Los Angeles. You know, you and I, I'm way older, but we just didn't, none of us knew each other.
Right.
It was a sort of a interesting threesome to become friends.
Yeah.
And to become as powerful of friends as we have become.
If there's something I need, I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend.
We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break, so stick around.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What do you, I mean, obviously, as this podcast has now sort of been exposing words that go along with friendship, it's so empathy is obviously a big thing. And I think empathy was the beacon, I mean, yeah, from the beginning.
And fun. Well, empathy with us. Yeah, but then with the Patty. Patty brought in, there was a lot of fun with Patty.
There was. We did, just again, for the uninitiated listener who was not on the trip, there was a morning where Alexandra and I, who both claim to be music aficionados and, you know, fairly au courant with the latest and the greatest, we did a little DJ sesh where we were trading off music. And Patty loves music. Patty is the life of the party. Patty Rockenwagner is the life of the party. And when we were, and my speakers were really good, and we had a intense sort of dance-off, I believe someone maybe in this podcast, maybe even somebody I'm speaking to, like really maybe right now, did some weird stairway thing where you were going down.
I maybe did a fake stairway. I'm going downstairs. I'm going upstairs. And this is some form of a dance and a really embarrassing one. It happened. It did happen. It's not on tape, but it happened.
Yeah, I can attest. But even the beacon, you know, telepathy with a friend, that idea that we know. And I have so many examples of times where, and we're not daily talkers or sometimes even weekly talkers. We're not those people like saying, like, what did you have for dinner? Friends, you know, but the phone will ring and I'll pick it up and it'll be you. And you will say, how are you doing? And I probably will start sobbing because I needed, I mean, it happened a week ago. Yeah. Where just the sound of your voice and your genuine interest, how are you doing? How's it going? This life that we're all trying to live with grace and dignity and humor and how do you know? What is it about you that you have that telepathy?
So interesting. I haven't thought about it in those terms. And I think that this comes down to me, it comes down to friendship and what's important to me in a friend. No, it's not just that I can be myself, but that I'm willing to, that I'm willing and the person I'm engaging with, my friend, is willing to be relational, meaning they're able to connect with me where they are. They're not going to bypass to, oh, I'm great, everything's great, and I'm doing, or that they're going to connect to the moment. They're going to be able to connect to themselves, and they know themselves well enough, and you know yourself well enough. You've done a lot of work. You've done a lot of deep dives. You've done a lifetime of searching and researching and communicating and being and loving. And that you know yourself well enough that I know that I can say to you, how are you? And it's just an invitation for us to connect. Mm-hmm. Now, we're busy people. Sometimes it's, I'm desperate to talk to you, but I can't right now. But there's an honesty to it that I thrive on, because life is tough and it's incredible and it's joyful and difficult and confronting and marvelous. And there's so many things. And I go through the highs and lows on a daily basis. I need to commune with someone who's able to meet me where I am and isn't afraid of it. And from day one with you, Jamie, you have been able to go there. There being wherever it is we are right now. And I don't know if that makes sense, but that I know it makes sense to you, but I don't know your listener. So I'm hoping that I'm communicating, but It's a presence. It's just knowing who you are, being where you are, and then connecting with a person in front of you in a way where you're actually curious. You're curious and you want to know the truth. You're not just looking for some answer that will feed your own story.
Yeah. Well, it is curiosity. I think curiosity about a friend is that isn't obsessive. It isn't like a vampire where I am trying to suck your chi out of you to keep myself alive.
And stable, yeah.
And stable. But that your curiosity, and by the way, you are a challenging friend. You are not just for the listeners. Alex is a challenging friend. She will challenge you. And I don't mean in a big, like, cross-examination in a murder trial way. She will question. Maybe that's the thing. You are probably, out of all of my closest friends, you're the one to examine something. I'm assuming you know that about yourself.
Yeah, I do. I see it as advocating for you, my friend, but also advocating for myself. There aren't many times where I feel like you're not. So I feel like you're able, we have a shorthand. But if I feel like I'm talking to a friend and they're not connected or they're not paying attention to something that feels really important, I do want to point it out. Sometimes I ask, sometimes rather than, let me tell you what's going on with you, versus I'm just wondering if you're open for feedback, or I'm seeing something here and I don't know if you're interested in hearing what I have to say about it. Because some people, not really my close friends, but some people are, they'll say a friend is a witness. I'm not interested in just being a witness. I'm interested in a back and forth, you know, because if you're just witnessing me and I'm offline, then that's not going to serve either one of us. But if you're able to stop me and say, can I just stop you for a second? That thing that you just said, we repeat that. Or I'm noticing this, or you remember when this, then you're more than a witness. You're someone who's actually kind of safeguarding our space, my space with myself and our space together, and helping me.
Well, one is active, one is passive.
Yeah.
I mean, being a witness, being just a witness to somebody is a passive action. It's not integral. It doesn't connect up. It's distant. It's respectful. I'm seeing you. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a bearing witness to an aspect of all of our friendships. But, you know, I interviewed, and I don't know what order any of these are going to be in. So I may reference something and people are going to be like, wait, who? I didn't hear that one. I interviewed Ruthie Ponfion. And I talked about the first time.
That was probably a great one.
Spectacular. And I was talking about the first time when I hired her as a masseuse. And I think I smoked some pot or something just to kind of relax. And no doubt sort of passed out or was definitely just sort of drooling, you know.
Right.
And that she kind of woke me up. And of course, my listener is going to know my terrible Ruthie accent. So please don't. I respect her. She's from Brazil.
I love the Ruthie accent.
I know. But I have to be so, we have to qualify everything so carefully. I'm not, you know, this is not.
No, it's important.
It's important, but I have to qualify it. And I didn't say this to her when we did the interview, but like I woke up and she was sort of straddling me. And she goes, you know, Jamie, you know, I'm not here to fuck you. You know, you're lying here like doomy. You know, I'm here to partner with you in the massage. It's a partnership. You have to breathe in. I ask you to breathe. And the work we do is together. I am not doing you. And I remember that moment so vividly where I understood, and now, of course, understand very well what she was talking about. It has to be a living, breathing relationship. It has to be, hey, I'd like to bring this up. You've been saying this four times now, and it's, I need to ask if you were open to hearing what I'm hearing you say, because you're saying it over and over again, and I don't think that's what you really mean. And in order to do that, there's a base level of trust with somebody, because you may be pointing out something and have pointed out things to me that are not embarrassing, but they are the type of thing that you go, oh, I didn't realize that. And you have to have enough strength inside you to hear it.
And willingness, you know, that somehow it rings true, because if it doesn't, then it's worth it to say that that's not how I see it. If there's something I need, I don't already
have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's funny, you know, obviously people have said, well, I have a best friend, I don't have a best friend, I have a crew, I have this, I have this. And I was joking, you know, Suzanne and I have a funny name for each other, and other friends, Melanie and I have a funny name for each other. And our name is Besties. Mm-hmm. But it's got an S on it, and it involves the six of us, the three couples, the three sets of spouses. We're all married, you and Jody, Patty and Hans, and Chris and me. And it's almost childlike. It is childlike. It is so childlike that it's so delightful to be able to be childlike. My husband is 73 years old. Hans just turned 60. I'm 62. You know, you and Patty are 50 or 51, whatever. I don't even know how old. How old's Jody?
Jody's 58.
Jody's 58.
Jody told me I was 52 yesterday, and I said, I am? She said, yeah, you're 52. You're going to be 53. I said, no. We went back and forth, and then I was able to retrieve my year. I am, in fact, 51.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. You don't look a day over 51.
52. Yeah.
No, 52. I mean, my God, that's like so old. But there's something so delightful about good friends being children together. Mm-hmm. We play games. Mm-hmm. We had a party the other day, fully masked and socially distanced, but it was a birthday of somebody and we were outside and it was my birthday and Patty had created, you guys had all created this gaming area where mm-hmm. we had dart guns mm-hmm. and what was that other thing?
There was a, Patty got these reindeer antlers that you blew up and these plastic rings. And so each married couple one would be wearing the antlers and the other would be tossing the rings. We were outdoors 6 feet apart and whoever got the most amount of rings won. I'm going to say Jody and I won. And then Patty afterwards, she did a recall because she felt that our antlers were not blown up enough. She called a deflate gate on us.
Yes, she did.
And said the antlers weren't blown up enough, so they were able to fall. So the rings were, it was easier for us to attach them. And for me, I think it was a bit of sore loser.
Well, she's very competitive.
Very competitive. We actually, you, because you are the resident photographer, hilarious, because I actually am a photographer, Jamie, for you listening out there, is the most extraordinary photographer. So Jamie was photographing the whole thing. And in fact, when we reviewed the photos, our antlers were
a little deflated.
They were a little deflated.
Yes. Well, before I lose you, before I leave our conversation, I do want to talk just about the strength of character of all of us. Because the other thing that I think is unique in our good friendship, along with Patty's and Hans's, you know, along with the inclusion of Patty in our besties group, is the level of support for all of our communal expansions. Mm-hmm. All of us are trying to manifest our destinies, are trying to take advantage of our creativities, our minds. You've gone back to school. Jody went back to school. Patty has forged an entire new path of social justice. Hans is expanding his world and his bakery business. Christopher is expanding in his own way of hickation to the perfection of fly tying and the pursuits that he deep dives. And I am trying to expand and manifest so that we all are cheering each other on. When Patty was involved in something, it was as if she had won the Oscar. Like in that moment, we couldn't mm-hmm. have been prouder. The other day, I was at the Golden Globes and presented it to my bestie. I say it on national television.
That was actually really funny because Jody, as you know, had zero expectation of winning. And so our plan for that evening was, we'll just go really quickly in front of the Zoom thing for a second, and then we're going to have dinner downstairs. It was just going to be a second. And you opened the envelope and you said, my bestie. And Jody and I both thought at the same time, why would she call Olivia Colman or Glenn Close? Like, why would she use that word for these other women? Like, that was the first thought we had. We were so confused. We still didn't think that Jody had actually won it. We just thought that you were using that our word with other people.
But my point is simply, there's a level of support and respect.
Yeah.
For our processes, individual, unique individual processes, and yet as a good friend group, my victories are your victories. Jody's victory was our victories.
Yeah.
Hans's new business is our new business. Mm-hmm. Your expansion, you know, my gift from Alexandra were for my birthday or the holiday this year, I said, you are in school. I never went to school. I never had that sort of education. Mm-hmm. Show me what you're learning. And you graced me with some examples of some of the people you read about, mm-hmm. ideas. And then we have been able to have these conversations around it. Mm-hmm. That level of expansion is unlike I have in other friend groups. Mm-hmm. And it makes me cry because that's all I've ever wanted.
Mm. Yeah. It really is. It really is an amazing gift. And I feel like when you talk about us witnessing our individual and collective accomplishments and processes, and it's to do it together. And even, you know, 2020 was a bear of a year. And we all had to go deep. We all had to go really deep. We needed to face things that we hadn't faced before. And I think that for sure, for me, the decision in lockdown to go back, all of my shows were canceled, and to go back to school felt really important. And I loved that you said, because you were going through your own process in it, say, I want to know what you're reading, because the school that I've been going to, it's dedicated to social justice. And my interest was, let's go and relearn. What is our history? What is our experience? What is happening? And how can we understand things in a different way? And to be able to share that together, say, these are the things that we didn't get when we were in school. And now we get them. Now we get to share them. Pretty powerful stuff, I think.
You're powerful stuff. And Patty is powerful stuff, even though she's not here. And we can diss her about mm-hmm. how she looks good in her clothes, because this Patty woman can absolutely...
She can put together an outfit, that woman.
She can put together... And by the way, we both have traveled with her, and it's just painful. It's absolutely painful to travel with her, because out of that suitcase comes such creative, fabulous stuff. It's crazy. Anyway, Alex Hedison, I love you. I'm so grateful that you're my good friend, that you are here on this podcast, that my listener was able to listen to you and understand how it feels to be in your orbit and in your focus and in your gaze. And
I love that you invited me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Very happy to have had you. And to my listener, if you're still there, God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll hook up, whatever that means, because I say hook up because I'm 62 and I'm not going to change my ways. So we'll hook up whenever that is, another time. And thanks for listening. And I love you, Alex.
I love you, Jamie.
Good Friend is produced by Dylan Fagan and is a production of iHeartRadio. Our theme song, Good Friend, is written, produced, and performed by Emily King.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? a wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.